Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, verses 41 to 43. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country for your name's sake, for they will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm. When he comes and prays toward this temple, hear in heaven your dwelling place and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, whose name we proclaim in every worship service to the glory of our triune God and for the salvation of all people, dear fellow redeemed. In our catechism, under the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name, there's a question. Question asks, what is God's name? The answer, God's name is what identifies and describes him. It is every revelation of God that God has given of himself. In other words, God's name is really God's word. It reveals to us who he is and what he has done for us. Under that question and that answer, then, there are three passages. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, Jehovah. That is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Exodus 20:24. In every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. Romans 10:13. For whoever calls in the name of the Lord, Jehovah, shall be saved. The next question then asks, what do we learn about God from his name? Answer, we learn that God is our loving Savior God from his name. When the Israelites were dedicating that amazing, enormous, ornate temple built by Solomon, Solomon had a prayer of dedication. In that prayer, he mentions God's name many, many times. The name of Jehovah, the name of Elohim, name Shaddai, in that prayer. In our few verses, which are part of that prayer, he mentions God's name four times in those three verses. That's because out from that temple would be his name, his word, being proclaimed. And that's not unusual. But what was unusual is that out from that temple, God's name and God's word would also be proclaimed to the foreigners, to the strangers, to Gentiles. Even though God had chosen Israel to be his people, God's desire, his will, was for all to come to the knowledge of the truth, even in the Old Testament times. But unfortunately, many in Israel didn't believe that. Many in Israel didn't teach that. And many in Israel didn't live that way. They looked down upon the goyim, the Gentile, the foreigner. They rejected the strangers. God didn't. God did not want his word proclaimed only to the people of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, his seed. He wanted it proclaimed to all the world. So King Solomon prays, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country for your name's sake, for they will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm. So what's the reason that a foreigner, a Gentile, would come to the temple of God to worship the Lord Jehovah? Because he heard a message about God's great name. God's name, God's word, was proclaimed to them, and it drew him or her to God's house. And what was the message that they heard? Well, first we'll tell you what the message was not. The message was not, sacrifice yourself and your children to appease your God. Do something in order to satisfy your God's anger and wrath. The nations around Israel had their gods too. And they said their gods' names were great as well. But their God's message was, do something for your God so he doesn't blast you. You got to do something to keep him happy. Solomon says, this is the message that we're to give to all people. They will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm. They will hear about God, what God has done for them. Instead of God demanding of them something, God is giving them something with his outstretched arm and his strong hand. Hands that work, hands that fight, aren't kept close to the body. They're outstretched for pushing, pulling, slashing, fighting, sharing, giving, protecting, providing. A strong hand symbolizes someone who can protect and someone who can provide. And this God has been doing ever since he called Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees and said, from you I will call a great, mighty people. Providing for him, protecting him, guiding him. Day by day, God's outstretched arm and powerful hand protected Israel, even when they were slaves in Egypt. And he showed his powerful hand, his mighty arms, through the 10 plagues, parting the Red Sea, parting the Jordan River, having the children of Israel, who were not a warlike people, come into the land of Canaan and take over one nation after another nation until finally they were living in peace and harmony in the land of Canaan, the promised land. But even greater, the message of God's outstretched hand, arm and powerful mighty hand was seen in the promise of the Messiah. The Messiah who would come and destroy and conquer Satan and give to people salvation, freedom from their sin, from death, from Satan and hell. This God Jehovah, this God Elohim, actually lovingly involved himself in the daily affairs of his people and would draw them to him through the proclamation of his name, through his word. But Solomon says he'd also draw to him the foreigner, the stranger. And as amazing as that is, it's also amazing that Solomon says God will also actually hear the prayer of these strangers, these foreigners who worship him, and answer them. We read in our text, Solomon's praying, when he, the foreigner, comes and prays toward this temple, hear, Lord, in heaven, your dwelling place. Solomon is praying that the Lord, Jehovah, not only hear his people's prayers and answer them, but hear the prayers of these foreigners, these strangers who trust in him. David said this in Psalm 34, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Solomon also prays that God not just hear, but also answer the prayers of the stranger and bless them. We read, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. Solomon's concern is for the building up of the foreigner's faith and for the spread of God's name. When the Lord answers the foreigner's prayer, his power is revealed. His mighty hand is shown. His promises are fulfilled. And People are moved to tell others then about what this God of Israel, the Lord God Jehovah, had done for them. In doing this then, Solomon says, all peoples of the earth will know your name and fear you, respect you, honor you, come to know you, trust in you, believe in you. A second concern for Solomon was that when the foreigner's prayers are answered and God's name is spread and proclaimed, the people will know that this temple, which I have built, is called by your name. Solomon wanted the people to know, not just the Jewish people, but the foreigners as well, that this temple in Jerusalem was not just built because Solomon wanted to build it. It was built because the Lord God decreed it. The Lord Jehovah, the only true God in heaven and earth, said, build my house here in Jerusalem. There are other temples, there are other houses of worship that housed idols, man-made gods. This temple was one that God said, make for me, make for my glory, so my people and strangers can come and worship me, hear my name, proclaim my word to others, and glorify my name. Two strong themes run through these three little verses of a portion of Solomon's dedication prayer. It's prayer and missions. And so this morning, we too have a prayer, which is with a mission thought. And that prayer is, Lord, use this, your house, here at Peace Through Christ, to reach others. Draw them, hear them, and bless them. When we proclaim God's name, that is when we proclaim salvation only through Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that message draws people to the Lord, draws people to God's house. They're led away from their work righteous beliefs that they can do something to earn God's love. They can be good enough to be able to stand before God in eternity, in whatever they call heaven. Leads them to realize that they're lost and condemned because of their sins, because of their spiritual depravity. And leads them to see that the only way to everlasting life and salvation is through God's great love as seen in his Son, the Savior, Jesus Christ. And so when we proclaim that God sent his Son, Jesus, to live a perfect life on this earth for you and me and for all of mankind, that this Son, Jesus, died upon the cross to pay for the guilt and punishment of everybody's sins and then rose from the dead and ascended to heaven to take us to heaven, that draws people to the Lord. And when we see what great things God has done for us, how he has washed away all of our sins, our multitude of sins in thought, word, and deed, and assures us of a blessed home in heaven, we too will want to tell others about that. And so we pray that the Lord use this house here on West Point Road, use this house and the words that are proclaimed out of this house to reach others, to draw them into his family, into this house. We also pray that when others come to the Lord in faith and they cry out to the Lord in prayer, that the Lord answer their prayers, hear them and answer them, showing his love and compassion and his mercy and his zeal to save them and his desire for them as well. This in turn will strengthen their faith and our faith as we see all that God does for all of those who previously did not know Jesus but now have come to faith in Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now it's true, we in the New Testament don't have one great big huge temple like in Eau Claire. We have many houses of God scattered throughout our country. Houses of God where the word of God is proclaimed and goes forth into all the world. And from those houses of God, when we proclaim God's name, that is God's word of salvation, that message draws foreigners, strangers, to God's house to glorify his name. May we be busy in our lives, like Solomon, praying that this name of our God be proclaimed to others of different nations, of different cultures, of different races. May we realize that our Savior gave that great commission, not just to his disciples back then, but to every single one of us today. Go into all the world, your neighborhoods, where you work, when you're on vacation, wherever you are, and bring the gospel message to all people. That's an individual thing God has given to us. When we do that, we will be busying ourselves in proclaiming the one thing that everyone needs, the good news of their Savior, Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, all people are drawn to the Father. And when they pray in Jesus' name, their prayers are heard by our Heavenly Father in his throne of grace. So, let us rise and join our hearts in prayer. Lord Jesus, give us a love for lost souls, as Solomon had. Move us to speak your name to others and support the proclamation of your name to others in our prayers and in our offerings. We pray that you, through the Holy Spirit, draw many to your house to hear your gospel message of salvation through Jesus Christ and bring them into your family and into your kingdom. We ask this in your powerful, saving name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.